ShopUSA.org.
Another Republican caught fooling around. What's 2012 going to look like for the GOP? Already 30% of the would-be candidates for a Republican run at the presidency have a better shot at True Confessions, a reality show that someone surely should make. Why not? We have Real Housewives, celebs in the jungles, bachelors and bachelorettes looking for mates, or at least their 15 minutes of fame. So Governor Mark Sanford, I'm dying to talk about this, from South Carolina, admits to an affair in a nationally televised press conference. There were tears, rumblings. It was a mess. We have love letters, the apology, and a whole lot more coming up on the show. Plus, the ladies from Iran, more video being released of beatings. The question is, when did they take place and all that other sort of stuff. The Supreme Leader still standing by that call for an end to all of the protests. And there is a lockdown on the media coming out of that country. As many of you know, we've been talking about it. Twitter and all the other social networking sites like Facebook also. That's another way people, YouTube, that's another way they're getting some of the video out. On the lighter side, wow, the U.S. beat Spain in soccer in the Confederation Cup. Is this a miracle on grass? Wow. The U.S. advancing to its first men's FIFA final since starting play in 1916. Way to do it, men. We're going to talk to a former professional soccer player, Tom Gulley, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Speaking of sports, each and every Wednesday, we go to Easy Ticket Mike right from the get-go here on our nationally syndicated America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and everywhere in between. We're picking up more affiliates, and thank you for your support. Appreciate it. Appreciate all those great emails that we've been getting. Easy Ticket Mike, how's it going in your world?
Oh, it's going great. It's almost time for American football rather than foreign football, but that's coming up here. Spring training starts, or not spring training, summer training. The summer training camps start the end of next month.
Oh, yeah, and of course there's always so much speculation over what's happening in football. There's no doubt in this country, certainly on sports talk shows and whatnot, and gambling-wise, let's face it, and just for people who want to root for their team and go and watch, football reigns supreme. So, yeah, those training camps are getting closer and closer and closer. It's fun because in the beginning of the season, I used to live in Vegas, Mike, and the fun thing is when they put these crazy odds on the board at all the sports books there for whoever it is to win, you know, the Super Bowl, and you'll get these crazy, like I said, crazy odds, 100-to-1 shot, that kind of thing. And you can just kind of bet on some of the teams that are going to be there. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, again, we're a national show. People are listening all over the place. And I've said this before, but I've traveled with the Cowboys when I was covering them, and they're like rock stars. People either hate the Cowboys outside of Texas or they absolutely love them because they have just tons of fans. Their Cowboy training camp should be packed just like the Giants and just like the Patriots. All those teams usually have so many people that come out and watch them, and it's hard to believe we're so close to football again, isn't it?
Yeah, the Cowboys, they moved out of Thousand Oaks, and they're down in San Antonio for their training camp now, and that's where they'll be the end of July.
Yeah,
and they're not really predicted to go very far. They said this year, but that probably means that they will be in the Super Bowl then.
That's right. Don't believe the pundits. It's just speculation and hot air all over the talk radio airwaves. So, you know, it's anybody's guess. Pittsburgh, if they play the way they played last year, they look good, right? Of course, you can't count the Giants out. Who knows with the Patriots, Tom Brady, et cetera, back in the fold. I mean, you never know. Let's put it this way. Right now, everybody listening to us, your team has a chance at the Super Bowl. That's what's so exciting. You get into the season, and then you get a better gauge of it. Now, when we go into the season, I'm assuming, of course, because you have tickets to everything, you'll have tickets to all kinds of games all over the country.
Yeah, we've got a slew of tickets here for the Jones Stadium here in where the Cowboys play. But we've got tickets to pretty much any game in any city, whether it's home or away, and we can get some really good seats for the fans.
All right, so just remember, you go to easy-ticket.com. And, of course, baseball still in the thick of it, obviously. Now, we've been talking about the Dodgers a lot. Dodgers have been a really fun team to watch, I think, this season. They've had little slumps here and there, but not really when you look at their record. And, of course, the Boston Red Sox, you mentioned it even in your note to me, the Boston Red Sox are right on top in the American League, too. And would you believe, I got a bunch of buddies that are covering the All-Star game. It's just a couple of weeks away from the All-Star game, so now things will really start to heat up, don't you think?
Yeah, usually what happens to the Rangers, I've been following the Rangers here lately, but they've dropped their last five games. They were playing the Razorbacks tonight. I think they were winning, but they've lost. They lost last night to the Razorbacks. But the Rangers, usually they kind of fall apart after the All-Star game because the Texas heat starts hitting them. The Dodgers, they played the White Sox tonight, and they got beat by the White Sox. The White Sox had six home runs in their game tonight.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. By the way, for everybody listening, LSU with a College World Series title again in just crazy. They're going crazy in Baton Rouge. Tigers whooped up on Texas 11-4, so it's their sixth national title. Quickly, we're almost out of time, but you have concert tickets too. Who are the hot concerts around the country?
Oh, there's a lot of country western stars touring right now. Toby Keith, Brad Paisley, Taylor Swift's out. She's doing a ton of shows in a lot of cities. There's Pink is coming to. She'll be on tour this fall, and actually she's coming here to Dallas on my birthday. But I don't think I'm going to go see her.
Skip that one.
Yeah, Clapton and Stevie Winwood, they were here last night. They were here in Dallas last night. They were doing a tour. They'll be in Phoenix on Friday. And out in L.A. On Sunday, I think. So they're doing a bang up tour themselves, and Metallica's going. They'll be on tour this fall. So there's a slew of concerts for just about any genre.
Okay, so again, easy-ticket.com. That's where you want to head for tickets, and as he said, whether you're a fan, whatever genre of music, whether it's rock and roll, country, hip-hop, etc., of course, there's all kinds of things that happen in the summer. We talked about it before. Summertime really is one of the big times, obviously, for concerts. By the way, because I got a quick email here for you baseball fans, bottom of the ninth, the Rangers 2, Diamondbacks 1. The Mets shut down the Cardinals 11-0. Someone asked me that score. The hated or the loved Yankees beat the Braves, doubling them up 8-4. Boy, I bet you the governor of South Carolina wishes he could just focus on baseball and not on what's happened recently. We're going to talk about that later. Hang with us.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. products. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
You know, this is my hot button if you've been listening to America Tonight, this whole financial mess that we're in, starting with the fall, what happened in the bailouts, et cetera, and the dreaded three letters, AIG. And we've talked about this for the past 8 months. I mean, even before that, because business is one of the things that we do here on ATN. Kate Delaney hanging with you as per usual. You can flip me an email day or night, coast to coast, everywhere in between. AmericaTonight.net. Naomi Prince joins us now, and she's written a book called It Takes a Pillage. I love the take on that, if you get my meaning. Behind the bailouts, bonuses, and backroom deals from Washington to Wall Street. Naomi, thanks so much for popping on ATN. We appreciate the time.
Oh, thanks a lot, Kate, for having me on.
So, you know, you worked in this world. I mean, you did the investment banking thing. Before we dive into what's happening currently with the bailouts, et cetera, and the Bernanke thing is now getting a lot of attention, are you surprised at all about the situation that we've been in really since last fall, that all of a sudden various companies having their hand out and needing the money, needing the bailouts? Does that surprise you from where you were in that industry?
You know what surprises me, Kate, is how much money they needed. I think this was, you know, something that was happening for years, this buildup of the types of assets and products that Wall Street was creating even from the time when I left, which was a while ago now in 2002, with the intent of having more and more risk. Which was more and more profitable for a while until things go wrong. And when they go wrong, credit risk in particular fails very quickly, very badly. And that's kind of what we're seeing here. The first bank that failed was Bear Stearns, and that was because they just took a lot of risk on with a lot of credit unworthy products and trades, and that just was part of a market that then went into freefall. I'm surprised at the extent of this bailout. I never would have thought it would have had the magnitude that it's had.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. So now as a result of that, the push is on for one regulatory body and to give more power, and I'm just summarizing this, but to basically give more power to the Fed. Do you like that idea? I'm guessing you're going to tell me no.
I think that's one of the most insane parts of this plan or any plan that would actually suggest giving more power to the Fed. The Fed's job, or one of its jobs, it has many, is to regulate the banking industry. And as part of that, maybe it's not supposed to be clairvoyant, but it certainly has a lot more information and can ask for a lot more information as to the real health of banks, if it chooses to decide whether things are going wrong. And in my book, and it takes the pillars, I mean, I go back to 2005 with specifics of this crisis where the Fed had actual reports from their own different banks within the Federal Reserve System saying that things were going wrong. So, A, they ignored that. What's worse is they allowed mergers to happen to create these, like, too-big-to-fail banks to make them bigger and more expensive to prop up when it is their job to be able to say no. They are allowed to reject any merger. That is something that is in their power in the mandate of the Act for the Fed. So they didn't see it coming, or they chose to ignore it. They made these bigger institutions even bigger, and then they spent, by the current tally now, and it's not really a number that's out there because it's so insanely big, $7.5 trillion worth of Fed to subsidize the current banking system. And that's insane. So to give them more power after they've screwed all that up so badly and so expensively makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah, I agree. So as somebody who's skilled in the money field, what's your solution? What do you think?
Well, I think instead of trying to tweak around these too-big-to-fail institutions and find regulators or give power to existing regulators to deal with the complexities, I think you make the environment easier. I've been saying for a while now that if you break up the banks, I'm not saying nationalize them, I'm saying break them into functions. Insurance companies, commercial banks that deal with consumers, investment banks like Bear Stearns, like Lehman Brothers that went bankrupt, that can basically not have to be subsidized by the government when there's a tremendous failure. And then you have a landscape that's actually able to be regulated and doesn't hinder the entire economy when it takes on too much risk and screws up, because the only thing that the government will be responsible for are the banks that deal directly with consumers whose tax money effectively goes into the government and therefore kind of has a little bit of a stake in that protection and doesn't bail the rest of the AIGs and other institutions out. You just make the environment simpler rather than trying to deal with the complexities that exist.
Oh, boy, I so agree with that analysis. That's exactly, take a pie and split it up into pieces, and that's exactly what you want. I think it would work way better. I just hate the idea of the Fed having all that power. How dangerous would that be? Hey, CNBC, absolutely. Huffington Post, Nomi, and a slew of other financial papers, etc. I get IBD. They were talking about it. What's this deal with Ben Bernanke, the Republicans? There's a Republican congressman who's saying, look, he covered up a big role in the B of A Merrill deal and absolutely used inappropriate threats. Do you think there's, you know, this is just a bunch of hot air, or do you think there might be more to that?
Well, I think he and probably the Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson, at the time, did threaten. I mean, I don't know if they physically put Ken Lewis in a corner and said they would beat him, but, I mean, they certainly wanted Merrill Lynch to be taken into the Bank of America hierarchy. They showed with their money that they basically backed that deal to happen. They gave money to Merrill Lynch on its way to becoming part of Bank of America. Ben Bernanke had the authority to allocate that money. So once that merger started to happen, the Fed and the Treasury Department both really didn't want it to go away. They wanted the deal to go through. So there were threats that came out in terms of whether Ken Lewis backed out, that he might be looking at not having the same job that he has, not staying as the CEO and chairman of the company. I mean, as it turns out, the shareholders voted him out as chairman, and he is just CEO, but that's certainly still a powerful position there. But I think judging how mergers work on Wall Street and how the Fed, the component of Wall Street, it's very likely that there were some harsh words that actually happened and that made that merger occur.
Yeah, I agree. Tim Geithner, if you had to grade him, how would you say Geithner's doing in his role now?
I think he's perpetuating some of the same things that had been going on before he got into the role. He's a little bit more public about it than perhaps Paulson was, but not dramatically so. I think he wants to believe that the worst is behind us in terms of the banking system crisis, and that since some of the banks are starting to pay back some of their TARP money that they got last year, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs, that that's an indication of stability. And I think he tries to put a positive spin on that, but I think his proposals and even putting a positive spin on a sector that's really not that healthy, unfortunately. It's really not. It has taken up a lot of money and a lot of subsidies, but it's not in a healthy state. I mean, it still has a lot of losses coming onto its books. And even the FDIC said it's about 22% less able to take on losses this quarter than it was at the end of last year. And that end of last year was horrific. So I think Geithner is trying to hope this crisis passes by what's happened. And I think that's not necessarily realistic.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, so the book is It Takes a Pillage: Behind the Bonuses, Bailouts, and Backroom Deals from Washington to Wall Street. Now, this book isn't even out yet. It's on pre-order. Like, if you go on Amazon, you can order it ahead of time. Wow.
Yeah, it's already, yeah. And I am keeping a lot of the numbers behind it on my website, so it's a little bit of a pre-everything, just because this stuff happens so fast.
That's right.
You know, and it'll continue to happen quickly.
And, no kidding.
As we've seen, you know, as certainly.
Every day.
Yep.
You don't know what's going to happen. Nomi, you were a great guest. Can we have you back on again?
Oh, I would love to come on again. That'd be awesome.
All right. Congratulations on yet another book. And I love the title. The title's brilliant, by the way. Did it take you a long time to come up with that title? No?
Sorry?
Did it take you a long time to come up with that title?
You know, it's funny. I was using the term pillage just generally to describe what had happened, and it was one of those over glasses of wine, oh, this makes sense kind of moments.
That's what I thought.
My titles really happened, so yeah.
That's great. Good for you. All right, good luck with the book. We'll talk to you down the line. Thanks for joining us in America Tonight.
More coffee!
If you've always wanted to experience the amazing benefits from using oil of oregano, the time to act is now. With so many places to choose from, where can you be 100% certain you're getting the highest quality oil for your dollar? The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com brings you ultra-pure, non-diluted oil of oregano with 80% or better carvacrol. PureBulk.com also carries over 120 nutritional products, including atomic iodine, amino acids, herbal extracts, and heart health, all made with no fillers, additives, or fancy packaging, saving you 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. With each order, PureBulk.com will send you one dram of atomic iodine, a 150-day supply, absolutely free. Just enter promotional code IODINE at website checkout. Visit PureBulk.com, that's PureBulk.com, or call 406-251-3270, 406-251-3270 today.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Do you have more than $15,000 in credit card debt? Before you spend another dollar on minimum payments, call American Debt Specialists right now and find out how much of your debt can be eliminated. That's right, eliminated. Call 800-237-7042. While the government is bailing out the credit card companies, we're here to make sure you get help too. Just one call could reduce your credit card debt by as much as 60%. 60%. We'll bring you peace of mind with reduced debt and just one low monthly payment that fits your budget. It's simple, legal, and we'll get the job done for you fast.
It was amazing. They helped me consolidate all my credit card debt into one low monthly payment.
Now, we don't have to file for bankruptcy.
Managing one payment is giving me my life back.
For a free debt evaluation and to learn how you can save thousands right now, call 800-237-7660. That's 1-800-237-7660. 800-237-7660.
Economy have you down?
Scared you might lose your job?
Worry how you will provide for your family?
Do you worry where your money will come from?
You know that the economy is getting worse, but there is hope.
Robert Beadle's new book, Here's What You Do, tells you what to do and how to do it. Even a 10-year-old can figure it out after reading this 72-page book. And the best part? This book is priced under $10. Don't be the victim, be a victor. Go to hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. Again, hereswhatyoudo.net.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Today, of course, politics, politics, and more politics with the GOP. This time, the governor, who I actually liked for turning down the stimulus originally, remember, Governor Stanford, who ended up in an incredible mess. Who knows if he would have had this massive confession on national television if the reporters hadn't found his car at the Atlanta airport. But you know what? This is a day truly for celebration. Why? Because if you bleed any of that American pride, trust me, Americans have struggled for a long time on certain stages in the soccer field, if you will. And beating Spain, as I mentioned earlier, 2-1, huge. I can't even begin to tell you how big that is for USA soccer. Somebody who can put it in better perspective, I think, than I can is somebody who's lived and breathed the sport his whole life, my pal Tom Gulley, who not too long ago, maybe 6 months ago, he was filling in for me a couple of times on America Tonight. Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
Oh, I am doing great. It's like, for a U.S. soccer fan, today is like you woke up June 24th and somebody said, hey, wake up, Kate, it's Christmas. And you said, it's June 24th, it's not good. Oh, no, you get all your gifts today, you don't have to go to work, nothing like that, it's Christmas today. That's what it's like for U.S. soccer fans.
Yeah, tell me about the game, because of course I read the recaps and I saw some slices of it, but not the whole game. You know, who was the biggest difference maker, and how would you describe what happened?
Well, I would think that the most shocking thing about this game is even if you're a rabid U.S. soccer fan like myself, you're used to the U.S. kind of coming out and playing a little more laid back and kind of letting the other team dictate the game. And certainly playing against Spain, 35 games in a row without losing, 15 straight wins, hadn't been scored on in five straight games, you would think the United States would sort of take their lead. Wrong. I was shocked. The United States came out from the kickoff, and not just one player, everybody, and really took the game to Spain with an immense amount of pace and pressure that I've never seen the United States play with before.
Yeah, that was a great strategy. As I've been reading different headlines, they're describing the Spanish soccer players as just simply shell-shocked, you know, that their unbeaten run, as you just said, is over, is done, and of all people, the Americans are the ones to upset them, which is the unlikely, let's face it, America's the underdog here. That was an unlikely storyline, right?
The most unlikely. The United States' first two games in this tournament, the Confederations Cup, which is basically the continental champions of every continent in the world, plus the World Cup champion. It is a very, very competitive tournament. And in their first two games, they lost by a total score of 6-1. Nobody thought they would even make the next stage, much less play Spain and defeat them. The first goal the U.S. scored was also, unlike the United States team, a 19-year-old forward who plays in Spain, Jose Altidor, muscled a world-class defender off the ball and just finished it clinically past maybe one of the best goalkeepers of all time, not just the best in the world right now, Iker Casillas of Spain, and the place just went bonkers. The South African fans, of course, hoping not to play Spain. Their team is in the other semifinal. We're rooting for the United States pretty heavily.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. I think I said 2-1, but it was a shutout. It was 2-0, right?
Oh, yes, it was 2-0. Yeah. And the second goal, Clint Dempsey, amazing vision, took advantage of a little lackadaisical play on the part of Piquet, the amazingly good defender from Spain, and snuck up behind him pretty much and just volleyed the ball past the defender and the goalkeeper into the net, and that pretty much put the game out of reach. The United States was under siege the entire game, though, and Tim Howard, the U.S. goalkeeper, was probably the man of the match.
All right, so the goalkeeper, he was the man. I like that. That's what I was looking for. Who was the key in this one? Do you think that this, when stuff like this happens, does this pump up soccer in the U.S.? Because you know this, Tom, for some reason, in some areas, soccer is huge, and it's certainly the youth soccer leagues are big, but why doesn't professional soccer really soar? Is it because of football and baseball and just the way we're raised, or what?
I think that's part of it. You know, most nations don't have four really, you know, robust sports leagues like we do. But I think another part of it is that, you know, I'm in my mid-40s, and I'm part of pretty much the first generation of Americans that have had soccer since their teen years. And there was just a small percentage that did when I was a teenager. Now, I think games like this one we had today, I think non-soccer fans have had very, very good reason to say, yeah, but the U.S. can't win against the good teams. I think games like this one today will establish a culture little by little with that, you know, youth group that's, you know, desperately looking for a team they can follow in their national team. And I think this game today did a lot. This game today across the world did a lot for United States soccer.
Yeah, that's, and what happens, you know, some of the players, and you mentioned some of the players, what happens with some of these players? What does that do to their profile? What's around the bend for some of them?
You know, it's just kind of like if a player that's a little bit below the radar is on a team that goes a lot further than you'd think in the NCAA tournament, maybe a player from, you know, Gonzaga or something. It just raises their stature and their cachet among other teams in the world because they've seen them perform at a very high level. So whereas the U.S. players, is compared to Spain, aren't the marquee players, there will probably be few of them that are playing in secondary leagues or in second divisions that are sought after by some of the bigger clubs in Europe.
Yeah. And so now it's Thursday, South Africa, versus Brazil in the other semifinals, who would you rather see? This is almost a dumb question. I know what you're going to say. Who would you rather see the United States, Tom, play in the final on Sunday?
I mean, the soccer fan in me would almost like to see Brazil, to see a rematch, because Brazil just made the U.S. look completely amateur last week. But realistically, I prefer to play South Africa. The U.S. played a friendly, an exhibition in South Africa last year and won 1-0. So they're not a walkover by any means. But, yeah, you'd much rather see them play South Africa. The Brazilians, obviously an incredible team.
Yeah, and there's still opportunities in this country for you to have a career in soccer, certainly. So when I said that, you know, it would be great to see it catch on, and there are some areas where it has, you still can have a pretty decent career, right? You can, right here in the States, MLS.
Yes, Major League Soccer. Landon Donovan, who's a linchpin in the United States team and had one of his best matches ever today, he makes, I believe, $1 million before endorsements. Of course, David Beckham,
mm-hmm.
not an American, but is doing pretty well. Even still, he plays for a team overseas, but his contract is held by Major League Soccer. So players are making a living wage. Donovan's at the high end of the scale, but there are players even at the low end making $60,000-$80,000 a year. So between that and $900,000, the players are kind of scattered all throughout that. Major League Soccer has a system where they hold the contracts to all the players, and then they're signed to various teams. So, the league cap in salary and the team caps are kept in very, very, very close watch. So we don't have a repeat of the North American Soccer League.
That's right, because you wanted to at least survive and hopefully thrive. That's obviously the name of the game. And you did dabble in soccer. Now, you didn't certainly want to play this up, but you did dabble in soccer. Hey, I can't say as I was a decent tennis player at one point, Tom, in my career, but I can never say that I played anything professionally. And you, my friend, can at least say that you were there. You were part of a team, right?
Yes, I like to tell people that I didn't play, but I was dressed up in a uniform for a lot of the games. The Major League Soccer actually is one of the reasons the United States won today, because before that league, we really had nowhere for our players to get training and competition that would allow them to maybe go overseas, but certainly become better than players who really don't have to play league matches every week. And that's what's established and developed the player pool that now American coaches have to draw from. Rather than having to draw from maybe 10 or 15 guys that managed to go overseas and get a job, they've got a whole, 13-team league filled with players that are all competing for those, 18 or 19 spots on the U.S. national team. So even if you don't like soccer, you kind of got to get excited about what happened today over in South Africa.
Oh, boy, I completely agree with that. Which is better in this country, not the other players? I'm not talking about the other clubs. We get that. But which is better, men's or women's soccer? Who are the better players from the U.S.?
If you're talking about, which of the two programs has done better within their discipline, it's obviously the women.
Yeah,
they've won a World Cup. They draw very well. They're extremely dominant. The pool of good teams is not quite as robust as it is in the men's side of it, but that's changing extremely rapidly. We have a great feeder system in the NCAA that gives us a tremendous advantage over a lot of the other nations in the world when it comes to the women. Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy and that whole crew did a great job of seeding that, here in our country. So, yes, they're much more dominant. The Confederations Cup will be the first final that the men's senior team has ever made, ever.
That's terrific.
We've gotten to third in the World Cup before, back in 1930, but this will be the first time the men have ever played, the senior men have ever played. Some of the youth teams have gotten to world finals and things, but this will be our first final Sunday.
I love it. I'll be watching. Tom, thanks, as always, for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Go USA.
Yeah, go USA. I concur. And I'm kind of hoping Brazil. I agree with Tom. If Brazil kicked our butts, let's kick them back on Sunday. Hang through. The governor of South Carolina, we're talking about it next.
Don't worry, I got the point all right.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
You've probably heard about the incredible, powerful, and natural antioxidants found in red wine. Unfortunately, not everyone is able to drink a glass of wine each day. Now, you don't have to drink even a single drop. Thanks to New Rev. New Rev is America's number one anti-aging supplement, thanks to its active ingredient, resveratrol. Resveratrol is the main nutrient found in red wine and has been proven to help slow down the aging process, help you lose weight, override an unhealthy lifestyle, boost your energy level, and so much more. New Rev has been the subject of some of the most exciting anti-aging research in decades and has only recently become available in purified form. Now, you can discover the amazing health benefits of New Rev for free. Just pay to have New Rev shipped to you. Get your free sample now at newrevonline.com. That's NUREVonline.com. newrevonline.com. Improve your life today.
Yeah, well, we called this on our last show. What a layup this was. Once you knew he wasn't on the Appalachian Trail and everybody was making up stories in his office and then his car was in Atlanta, you knew the governor of South Carolina, something was really amiss, and most likely he was having some kind of an affair. It just felt like that because his wife didn't even know where he was when she was questioned, and it was Father's Day weekend. And, man, talk about your unbelievable press conferences. The governor of South Carolina, who got a ton of national publicity when he refused the stimulus and then had it crammed down his throat because the state folks wanted it. So he basically got booted out of the way. What was starting to, the rumors that were flying is, oh, he was so distraught and upset about the fact that now the state was taking the stimulus, that he's gone off on the trail to write, to be by himself, and all this other nonsense. And, of course, it was all just a half-baked lie. Comes back Mark Sanford, who could have been the GOP nominee in 2012. Now forget about it. His political career is dying on the vine. Every single second, In fact, I'm kind of surprised he hasn't already resigned. And I'll tell you why. Not so much because of the fair, but because of the other things. So anyway, in his words, here's what he sounded like earlier today.
And so the bottom line is this. I've been unfaithful to my wife. I developed a relationship with a what started as a dear, dear friend from Argentina. It began very innocently, as I suspect many of these things do, in just a casual email back and forth, in advice on one's life there and advice here. But here, recently, this last year, it developed into something much more. And as a consequence, I hurt her. I hurt you all. I hurt my wife. I hurt the boys. I hurt friends like Tom Davis. I hurt a lot of different folks.
Oh, please. Whatever. They should have booed. The reporter should have been biased, and they should have booed him. So here are my questions. Did he lie to his staff? Is the affair over? Is he resigning his governorship? And if he wasn't caught, like the reporters weren't staking out his car in Atlanta, would he have admitted suddenly to this affair? Would that have happened? Would he have been yet another person trotting out in front of the cameras to say, oh, I'm so terribly sorry? And then here's the other part of this. How many of these liaisons in Argentina with this woman has the taxpayers' dollars paid for in South Carolina? I'm just guessing, I'm thinking a little bit, yeah, for sure. Because if you pay attention to South Carolina or you know anything about the textile industry, there is a lot of back and forth with South America. So it's a perfect cover, right? Do you think he should resign? I mean, he's toast as far as the national, I think, is concerned. There's no way that he gets the Republican nod for president. No way, ever. I mean, zero. He's gone from that. So this man who, of course, professed about, you know, trust and family values, this is the problem. Plenty of Democrats have had affairs and done the same thing. But with the Republicans, the hypocrisy, that is the problem. They don't understand that. If they're going to give reporters interviews and they're going to trot out in front of the cameras and talk piously about being so holy and so wonderful and having such a great marriage and would never cheat and have all this trust, then they cannot get caught in these situations. So my problem with the governor of South Carolina is the fact that I think that there's a lot of these unanswered questions, and I think he's a dog for making up the story, for making up this cockamamie story. I mean, can he be the governor of South Carolina if he's lying all over the place about being on the Appalachian Trail and it's so confusing, and then other people coming out and saying, oh, he's just, that's how he is. The governor gets upset, and sometimes, you know, he's a brilliant man and that's what he does. Give me a break. Making it sound like he was going off into the wilderness to sulk for a while and then come back. He's not fit to be the governor of South Carolina, sadly. Man, and I was waving this guy's flag. In fact, we were trying to get him on America Tonight and talk about the whole thing with rejecting the stimulus, and he got buddy-buddy with Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, and man, just crazy stuff. And like I said, crazy because of all the other questions I just threw out there. Sam is listening to us in Montreal, and he promises he's not going to talk about hockey in this phone call because he gets the first crack at this politician on our show. Sam, you're across the border, so this isn't somebody in Canada, but this is a governor who wields a lot of power in his state and got a pretty big national profile. You heard what I just said.
Yep.
Do you think he should resign? What do you think should happen in this case?
I agree. He should resign. Here's the thing. If he resigns, he still saves face. But at the same time, I mean, his face, no matter how many, you know, no matter how much time he takes off and then decides to run for whatever, sorry, his political career is finished. You know, that's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
he can't go anywhere from there, Sam, I don't think. And you heard the questions. I said, you know, did he lie to the staff? Did the staff lie for him? Did he use taxpayer money? There's just too much. And then his wife, you know.
All three.
Yeah. And here he's got four sons. It was Father's Day weekend. Nobody knew where he was. And you can't be the governor. You can't be the governor and just disappear and that's okay and nobody knows where you are. You just can't.
And from what you're telling me, he had clout. I mean, obviously, I don't know the whole history.
He did, yeah.
I don't know, it's like, ask how many people, on your show, how many people know about Senator Patrick Leahy, you know?
Exactly.
You know, so.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know what this guy was trying to prove. I mean, how old is he? Might have been so bold.
He's only 49. So yeah, here's the thing: good looking, in good shape, whatever.
Yeah.
And had been married to his wife since the late 80s. They have four boys. She's a good looking woman, etc.
Typical nuclear all American family. It sounds.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, it sounds like maybe he was going through a midlife crisis.
Well, that's what somebody else suggested to me. If you wanted to look at it that way, were they having marital troubles? Because the other thing he said when he was talking is that for 5 months they had been struggling, and she knew about it. But here's the thing that I think is also a great red flag for any guy out there listening that really wants to keep their marriage together. It's easy in the beginning; it gets harder as you get older, because like you said, you might have a midlife crisis. But the thing that he said was, geez, they had so much respect for each other, they started emailing each other, and that's how all of this started. So you know what? You can't do that. You can't put yourself in a situation where you're with this other attractive, exotic woman, and you're having all these intellectual conversations, and you're emailing each other back and forth. And then, of course, what happens?
Right.
You know,
now,
this happens.
I know. You know a lot more about this. If he resigns, does the lieutenant?
The lieutenant governor could step in. If he resigned, the lieutenant governor would step in. That's no problem.
Okay.
So that's what would happen, and I would say that's probably what should happen here. But I don't think he's going to do it. I think he's going to stay in there and stick by his guns. Now, to be fair, I guess a lot of people in South Carolina are rallying around him and saying they think his apology was heartfelt. Thanks, Sam. We're up against it. They think his apology was. Bye-bye. I think his apology was heartfelt and that he can, that he can weather this and we're forgiving people. And in South Carolina they are, but I don't think so. In South Carolina, in their paper today, because of course they're going to leak out, it's called The State is the name of the paper. They had the emails that were going back and forth between the governor and this woman in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and they blacked out her last name. They're just calling her Maria. And the notes that he wrote to her, you're glorious. I hope you really understand that. I hope you're doing well. I'm anxious to hear about you. This whole thing about being in love. He was writing her love notes and, you know, vice versa, back and forth. Miss you so much. I love you from the deepest of my heart. Sweet kisses. Oh, my, oh, my. Oh, it's wicked. It's what it is. It's wicked. And there are just no answers to defend this governor. He needs to step aside and step aside now.
If you vote for me, all of your wildest dreams will come true.